I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Nice slant route. This is a business decision. You know you're going to take a lump.
And former linebacker Sean Barber.
There's a thing called street justice. You take care of yours. Yeah. You take care of your family, take care of your chicken, take care of your money.
On your official broadcast partner, the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? Kansas City, we are back. Players Only in the building. You got a healthy dose of Sean Barber the last hour with Carrington, and now he is back in his seat on time here with Players Only. That's Sean Barber. You can follow him, Sean Barber 59 on Twitter. You got an Instagram yet?
Yeah, Sean Barber 7884. And I would tell you what the 7884 884 was for, but I really don't know.
Hopefully it ain't your garage code.
No, it ain't that. It's, never mind. No.
That's Sean Barber, and I am Danan Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter at DAHughesGuy83 or on Instagram, Danan Hughes. And we are back to talk about these Chiefs, mix in some extras. Wish everybody a happy and merry and blessed and safe Christmas before we get into this football stuff. But Barbershop, I mean, I know we go into the text line and phone line. By the way, the phone line, Jay Southland Tow Service text line is open, 913-586-7610. But you got some leftovers on the text line about you with your last segment with Carrington. We're going to tackle those in a little bit, but before we get to those...
What you talking about,
Willie? There's some creative ones in there. I guess you was flexing about how you like this weather and like playing in this weather
it
and
is
didn't
what it
wear
is.
Sleeves.
I'm cut different. I'm cut from a different cloth.
I could have swore I seen clips of you wearing sleeves on the field.
See, there you go. See, you assuming that something I said has to do with sleeves. It ain't about my what I got on, sleeves, no sleeves. I'm cut from a different cloth. I tell you.
Oh, I know that.
I'm looking in the other guy's eyes, and when I saw them shiver, that's the guy I went for. When I saw him put his hands up under his armpits doing this little thing, I was like, oh, that's my guy.
Yep.
That's the guy I'm a drug into the ground and hold down. And
the warmest parts of your body.
Make him say uncle.
Are under the armpits, the driest part of your body in rain. You know where these are tricks from wide receivers. The driest part is behind your knees.
Oh, okay.
Always put your hands behind your knees if you need to dry your hands off in the rain, if it was wet, if it was snow, behind your knees was going to be the driest part of your body. See? You learned something today.
Oh,
don't act like I don't teach you nothing. Don't learn you something. Every single show, just like I've been doing all year. But, Barbershop, we played one of your former teams.
Yeah, man.
This past week, and a little close for comfort. But you and I, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I mean, in the NFL, you know, point spreads. I know, you know, Rob is involved in the point spreads, and you got Cody, and you got a show coming on after us where they talk about all the betting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm of the school of thought that in the NFL, like, I would never bet the Chiefs on a double digit. I would never bet them double-digit point spreads.
I don't think I would bet any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Versus another team in the NFL. As far as me thinking that team is consistently going to be a double-digit, just for the sake of how close games are played, how end-of-game scenarios can work when you have a bigger lead, you some certain yardage and points you're okay with as long as it's eating up clock,
mm-hmm.
what you do to preserve a victory, all those kind of things come into play. So, unfortunately, a team doesn't play their best version for four quarters versus another team's best version, and you get that type of shootout like we saw, three, 4 years ago against the Rams. And I think people still have that image of that 54-50 whatever game.
54-51, was it?
Something like that. Versus the Rams, and that's, yeah, all right, that's Patrick Mahomes and our offense on, you know, level 10, and they should always be trying to score in the 50s every game. Again, it's
doesn't happen like that.
It doesn't happen like that.
And nor should it. I mean, like I said, leading up to this game, you know, that team gets paid too. They got grown men with families, mortgages, bills, and just because they're 1-11-1, one does not mean that a college team can go out there and play against them and win. Another is that they're just not going to roll over and die. And we saw that should have been evident the week before in playing the Cowboys, who at that time many thought were, what, the top two team, top three teams in the NFC. So I give props to Lovie Smith for preparing that team. I give props to Andy Reid, because to me in this last game, and I'm watching from the booth, Mitch and I are calling the game, and there are times where I focus specifically on people on the sideline, body language on the field, different things that kind of help me to put together my thoughts in responses to plays, responses to difficult situations, adversity on the field. And I thought, given the circumstance of the referees and the officiating of that game, Carl Cheffers, that Andy Reid had an amazing amount of restraint on the sideline. He displayed it much better than a lot of the players, which I understand as well, when you feel like you are playing against 12 people. And in this game, and here's the thing, we can complain about the refs. Two things can be true. More things can be true, actually. You can play good enough to win. You can play terrible. And the refs can be terrible. Doesn't mean that one supersedes the other. Doesn't mean that you're making an excuse for bad play or you're making an excuse for a win. Just means that that's a fact as well. And for a 1-11-1 team to have less than half the amount of penalties than an 10-3 team at the time tells you something. Because usually the 1-11-1 team came into the game with more penalties, mm-hmm. came into the game sloppier with their play. And yes, they did. The Chiefs came into the game with 62 penalties called on the year, third in the NFL. The Texans were 66 coming into the game. They both were equal in giveaway takeaway, but just the way the ball bounces and how good we have as players, we were able to overcome that deficit throughout the season and still have this great record. But I thought it was another wake-up opportunity. The young guys on this team, and maybe you can agree, they come from college where when Trent McDuffie played at Washington, when Leo Chanel played at Wisconsin, when George Karloftis played at Purdue, and they played their first three or four games of the season against lesser opponents, FCS, whomever, division, whoever, and they blew teams out, they knew they were going to blow teams out. In the NFL, until you come upon a team like the Colts, like the Texans, and you're a rookie, you don't know that you don't blow teams out. Like, you just don't know it. You might think it, oh, we're significantly better. They're terrible at this time. They already secured the number one pick of the draft, and we still got four games left. And then the next thing you know, you're in a dogfight, and you're realizing I'm playing against grown men. And no matter how much the coaches could have told you that going into the game, some things you have to experience. And I commend this team that within experiencing this, they still got the win.
Well, I mean, again, I put out a challenge a little bit early. I said, you know what, the respect level I had of this Houston Texans team was one because I watched the film on them. We kind of erase the grease board. Records get erased. When it's time to watch film, you don't look at a team like it's a 1-11 team or 1-12 team. You look at them and then you look for people making plays. And I said it before, they had three rookies on their defense, 48, 49, and 5. Petra,
yeah.
Big playmaker from Baylor. And then on offense, unfortunately, they had three rookies also that was making some big plays. DP, the running back, was in the running for Offensive Player of the Year as far as a rookie, and he got hurt. Then Nico Collins as wide receiver. And they have another rookie playing guard, I think, a young man playing guard. So with three rookies on both sides of the ball, that's a young team building too. And when I talked about their, you know, their record going down the stretch, I mean, I stand beside what I said. In week eight, they had the Tennessee Titans. Then they had the Philadelphia Eagles, playoff-bound New York Giants, maybe playoff-bound Washington Commanders, definitely in the playoffs, I think, the Dolphins. And then the one team with a losing record over those from weeks eight to now, last week playing us, was the Cleveland Browns, which was the homecoming for Deshaun Watson, you know, and all the emotion that brought back, and he was going to get his best game. And then the Dallas Cowboys and then the Kansas City Chiefs. So you tell me there's a stretch of, you know, really good teams at the end of the year you're playing against, and you start off, you know, 1-6 or whatever their record was going into, you know, week eight. I mean, that's a gauntlet of teams to play against. And it's not surprising they came out 1-11, 1-12. I mean, they played all playoff quality teams, and then they played against a Deshaun Watson with no film on him, with over 700 days of inactivity, just scratching to get back on the field. I think that they've shown that they're able to play quality football for four quarters. They've kept their special teams at a high. Uh-huh. Their special teams, their cover units, and performing as the number two unit in the league, I think, so far this year. And besides that, they don't have the skill players to be able to go toe-to-toe with anybody right now, especially these heavy-hitted teams they've been playing against. And I think that they should be kind of proud about the quality of football, the fact that they are in it in the fourth quarter and not giving up against teams that they are outmanned and outgunned against. I think they definitely got a lot of favorable calls from the refs. We already know this Jeffers guy. He left here maybe a little bit bitter, a little bit with his feelings hurt, and he was maybe trying to get a little payback against the Chiefs. And he might have had us circled on his calendar. I can't wait to see that team again. They, you know, brought me to tears back in Arrowhead, and I might make them come tears one night in Houston. So yeah.
Two times this year we've been penalized for 10 times or more, and both of those times he's been the ref.
Danny, you was there at the game. Can you explain to me the Juan Thornhill when he got pushed down and he got called for pass interference? Like,
yeah, I didn't understand that. In the end zone?
Yes.
When the receiver, he's standing still.
Yes.
The receiver ran right into him, moved him out of the way. He fell down and he got called. I didn't understand that either. And I'm a wide receiver. You know I'm a little biased. And I looked at it like what else was he supposed to do? Like, in that situation, was he just supposed to say, excuse me, and let him keep running to the corner of the end zone? He was just standing there.
Like,
it came in so emphatically. Though sometimes, like, the officials, when they throw the flags and it's so emphatic, like, they were right on top of it. That's the ones that piss me off the most, because I'm like, you had to have been looking elsewhere and you caught something out the corner of your eye that you thought was a flag and you threw it. But don't come running in like, I got this right here. And you go into Cheffers and you say, you know, defensive pass interference or whatever. Because that was the most, I wouldn't say that was the most ridiculous call, but it was one of the, it was very indicative of how the game was going.
And while we're talking about it, the Kelsey, the personal foul on Kelsey.
Always catch the second guy.
Well, okay, you can say that to a point, but it's a reason the referees huddle around. So that means all of the referees saw the same thing. They're all saying that no one saw the fact that after the initial tackle that the safety was pushing his helmet back down into the ground, kind of leaning on it.
And the safety wasn't even involved in the tackle.
That was an extra, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So to tell me nobody saw that extra guy come in and antagonize it. And then what you're saying that Kelsey did, that there was a personal foul, his reaction was not even extensive.
Yeah.
There was no swinging of punches or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Somebody is holding my head down extended amount of time, and I'm just trying to get my head up.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody knew what he was doing. He didn't want him to do the first down thing. Okay,
yeah.
But at least it should have been offsetting or something like that.
And you make a great point there before we go to commercial, because the referees came together.
Yes.
So that's the thing. Like, I'd love to have, I know they're mic'd up. They never would ever release it. But I'd love to hear what you're actually talking about in that circumstance. And in multiple circumstances. Yeah. You come together and you chat for 30 seconds, what seems like 2 hours, but it's probably only 15 seconds. And then you come out with this supposed we're of one accord now. And what did y'all discuss during that time? Mm-hmm. You also have earpieces, so you're hearing from New York. You're hearing from the people up in the booth. So all of this communication, and that's what you come out with. To me, I'd love to see the accountability more, but I'll get into that during my hot takes. But when we come back, we got the Spitfire hot takes.
Fire! Oh.
Let's do it.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And he gets buried. He gets destroyed by Sean Barber.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all better get ready to rumble. Ah, spicy like gumbo. Spicy like gumbo. Yeah.
Maddox throws over the middle, intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Sean Barber.
You really probably can see me with a bird's eye view.
Man, let me give a shout out real quick to my man Kenley Strickland at KC Daiquiri Company and Bistro, and also one of Dana's spots, Soiree down on 18th and Vine. Because when y'all start talking about that mystical and that gumbo, you say spicy like gumbo, I think about some of the best food here in Kansas City. So, I mean, I know that ain't my hot fire take, but it needs to hit the fire, because that food be.
We're turning the sports.
Almighty.
We're turning sports into music here. It's all right. Players only.
We give you what you want, man. We give people what they want. That's
give
what
them
they
what
want.
They need. They may not even know what they want. We just give them what they need.
Yes, sir.
It's Christmas time. You don't know. You got Christmas lists out there. Go ahead and get you a couple of gift cards to KC Bistro, Daiquiri Shop, also down to Soiree. Some excellent food here in Kansas City. Both spots that I frequent pretty often. We are back. Players only. That's Sean Barber. I am Danan Hughes. As I said, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line is open, 913-586-7610. And this is the Hot Fire, Spitfire, Fire Take. What you got, Barbershop?
Man, first and foremost, let me give a shout out to my guy, the middle linebacker, man, 32. He's been holding it down for us for a long time, man. This young man has been playing way beyond his years. So I know that the Pro Bowl selection came out, and they tried to say that, we had 7 guys. Man, we had 8.
We should have had 8.
We should have had 8, because that young man has been holding down the Mike linebacker position, has been a brick wall for our team. He stopped you in your tracks. And so, Mr. Bolton, I don't know what the voters were doing. I don't know about no votes or nothing, but you got my Pro Bowl vote.
Oh, yeah.
As far as linebacker, I don't think there's a better linebacker in the AFC than that young man. So, I'm not a Mizzou guy.
Was it Mosley?
C.J. Mosley.
Roquan Smith and C.J. Mosley are the two
careers. They've had some fine careers. But far as this season? Yeah, no. The guy here in Kansas City, our guy is the best.
Didn't he get traded?
Oh yeah, he went from the Bears to somebody else, right?
Yeah, Jets. No, Mosley's at the Jets.
Ravens.
He's at the Ravens.
You get the Pro Bowl? You ain't even good enough to stay on your same team, but you get to come on, man.
In a different conference. I could see if you was in the AFC and you went to another AFC team and you just picked up where you left off. But you went from one different conference to the other different conference. That's all about a name thing. That's one of those awards. That's pretty much the epitome of we recognize this name and his longevity better than this other kid that's in his second year and doing damage like he is.
From one LB to another, brother, you got my respect out there on the field.
We'll give you that fire.
Fire. Almighty fire.
Dang, you didn't carry that note very well. That last one, you kind of lost it. All right, here's my Spitfire take, and I've said this in previous weeks, but we kind of teased it and talked about it just a little bit earlier in regards to the officiating in the NFL. Like, there needs to be some sort of kind of alliance that goes along with accountability.
I like that.
In the NFL regarding officiating. The fact that they are the only entity that is involved in the game that does not have to be accountable to media, does not have to be accountable, truly accountable to the players, to the teams. They don't ever recognize themselves as factors in games, wins or losses. There is no calling on the carpet in regards to specific people within a group, within that team, within Carl Cheffer's team, because even though he gets the brunt because he's got that white hat on, mm-hmm. there are other components, other people that are involved. You look at the egregious call against the Washington Commanders, another one of your former teams, with Terry McLaurin lining up off the line of scrimmage, but you can see the communication that goes on with he and the official are literally less than 5 yards apart because he's lining up wide.
Yes,
because it's a run play and he wants to widen out the defense. So he's as close to the official on the sideline as you probably could possibly be.
Looking for the nonverbal, handout.
The handout.
Which you're on the line. That's the nonverbal that we know the default. When the referee puts it, that means you're on the line.
Yeah.
And for him to call that a legal formation after he says, I asked him.
Yeah. And the fact that Terry McLaurin is an ex-receiver.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's been around the league for a while. So he's lined up on the line of scrimmage. He's lined up likely the 60-plus plays.
Yep.
Maybe half or more of those plays, he's lined up specifically on that side with that official. So you know what the gestures are. They know each other. They know what they're looking for. And then the fact that that flag came in and it was specifically a play that cost them the game.
Yes.
It cost them the game. There are plays in our game that could have cost us the game. And so my hot fire take is accountability. Like, it has to be demanded for the league reps, the NFLPA, the player reps. When you're talking about flags that are thrown and no accountability, somebody should have to step up to the microphone and say, this is why it happened. This is what we saw. This is how do you make this call, but you don't make that call? Those are the questions that you should have to answer. And if you're going to answer that, I didn't see that as clearly, or I didn't see that as an infraction that warranted a flag. Like, there could be holding on every single play. So why do you call it on that play? There could be a push off from a wide receiver, or a hold, an incidental contact down the field, or contact down the field by a defensive back. A receiver can run right into the DB, like we saw against Juan Thornhill, and that flag be thrown. But we can also see other times where DBs are draped over receivers, or receivers are pushing off, and those flags not called. So I'm saying there needs to be more accountability. If you're really caring about the integrity of the game and not so much about fining players, one, don't fine a player if there's no flag thrown on the field. That's one easy fix, and I've said that weeks ago. The other, make the officials accountable, just like you make everybody else. You call the coaches, they got to get on the podium 10 minutes after a game. You call the quarterbacks, you got the media, the mics in the faces of all the players, wins or losses, devastating losses or what have you. Get those officials up there too.
That's like a low burn simmer.
That's not fire?
It's like it's kind of smoky.
It's like a George Foreman grill.
Yeah, it's like Smokey the Bear. Even you can prevent forest fires.
I ain't going to listen to you. But here's what I am going to do, because before we get to halftime of this show, I want to go back, because you must have been talking a little bit of nonsense with Carrington in the last show, because
there's
a couple of texts. And remember, the text lines are open. We got one call on hold. We'll get to you in the next segment. But 913-586-7610. Barbershop, so wise.
Yeah,
just sit back and learn some.
That's Rafiki. That's knowledge, bro. He's telling C-Dot.
That's coming from Virginia. So that must be a family member that said that. I don't know.
Man, 804. It's Virginia. I don't know what 864 is. 804.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I don't load the voting box. In barbershop we trust. Barbershop is telling the truth. My man B Shop. This is the best goodness. Show. Hold up.
I see
hold
your
up,
head
Sean
inflating.
Flava.
I see your head getting big right from over here.
Barbara, I love you, man. Man, it's all love. I think the text line is definitely in the holiday spirit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying these are gifts, but I do enjoy all the positivity coming through the text line.
You ain't reading the negative ones. You just skipping over those.
Hey, man, I got selective vision. You know what I'm saying? I got selective vision. So.
All right. We're going to come back after halftime. We got to talk about the holidays. We got to talk about this cold weather, how it affects us. I know I played in some cold games. You acted like you was just –
Iron Man, that's right.
Iron Man out there, but we're going to talk about some of those experiences and how this game can be affected based on those elements.
Bam, 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 bam. This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My name is D-Knight.
Looking to pass the football, throws in the middle, pass is cut, touchdown Kansas City, touchdown Chiefs, Danan Hughes, took the bullet over the middle from Steve Bono.
First and 10 for the Chiefs at the 14 of the Steelers, halfback pass, Marcus Allen right side, touchdown Kansas City, Danan Hughes from Marcus Allen.
Expert analysis, news and views. From Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
The so-called number one defense in the NFL that hadn't played anybody during the last part of the season. And we showed who was the best team on this field and deserved to host another AFC championship for 4 straight years.
But you can call him D-Nice.
Just call me D-Nice. My name is D-Nice.
And we're back. Players only. Halftime break. Sean Barber. A.K.A. Barbershop, and I'm Danan Hughes. We got the phone line and the J. Southland Tow Service text line open, 913-586-7610. And you know what this segment is?
Anyways, with that, time's yours. Time's yours. Time's yours. Time's yours.
Time's yours.
Time's yours. It was a great game by everybody. Time's yours.
All right, time's yours. And we got Dan. Dan from KCK. What you got, Dan?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Sean. How you doing? How about those Chiefs? 7 straight AFC West titles. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, a win's a win. You know, just got to clean some things up. They didn't got to quit turning the ball over and everything, you know, but they'll come together. You know, it's a long season, you know, and my thoughts would go out to Franco Harris. And last week, Dan, I didn't mean the Chiefs didn't beat. I remember that Joe Montana come back and that Pete Stojanovic kick. I just remember those games in old Mile High when they were up 2 possessions and Elway would bring him back. But it ain't like the Chiefs Raiders rivalry. I remember when it was Gerbot hitting Spider-Man Rising on the last play. I remember that very well. So let's take care of the Seahawks. Take care of yourself, guys.
Merry Christmas, Dan. He's talking about
how you can't beat the Broncos. He bring it up every week. He slides it in there about how your teams, when you play for the Chiefs, stumbled, bumbled, and couldn't beat the Broncos, and you never pick up on it. I love it, man. It's like this backhanded slap he gets you at every time.
So did he talk about the Colts no punt?
See, there you go.
What happened?
Why you got to
talk about that one?
There you go. Talk about old stuff.
Because I had to sneeze off air. I didn't know if he – I had to take my headphones off.
Thanks. That's the way to bring it up, Dan. I love the way you stab Danan in the side, and he don't even realize it until minutes later.
All right, we got Scott. What's going on, Scott?
Time's yours.
Hey, what's up, fellas? You know, Danan, you brought up in the last segment the accountability for officials. And, you know, you being a 2-sport athlete, you might have and I don't know, Barbara, you may have played more sports than
he played hopscotch.
Scott, I like where you're going. You coming with some intellect here. I like the way you're setting this up. I'm waiting to hear what you got to say. Let's do it. Let's keep it going.
I just think officials in football have more say in the outcome of games than any other sport. I mean, you know, we can gripe about, you know, umpires in baseball and strike zones or missing a call here or there, whatever. And, you know, obviously I'm a huge basketball fan too, and I, you know, officials can take over games and that. But I feel like with football, the fewer possessions and the punitive nature of penalties. Like, I mean, one drive last week in the Chiefs game, there were three third down penalties that extended a drive on, you know, for the Texans.
Yes.
Not to mention that what I thought was a pretty bogus holding call really wrecked the Chiefs drive, where they were about ready to put their foot on the throat of the Texans there midway through the second half. And, you know, I mean, like you mentioned, the call in the Commanders game where they didn't give him the benefit of the doubt on the line of scrimmage. And then the very next play, obvious pass interference, or at very least illegal contact,
yeah.
You know, and those are plays that, anyway, I love what you say about accountability. I just would love to hear your thoughts on more. What are the solutions? And I don't know that accountability actually will do anything if they answer questions, because it's already done after the fact. And I'm sure both you guys have stories from your playing careers where, yeah, you guys got a letter on Wednesday that the NFL said that the officials screwed up, but that doesn't change the fact that you lost the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd love to hear more about your solutions for that.
I appreciate that, Scott. A very sensible take, you know, thorough. A little bit over the head of barbershop, but I got what you were thinking. I got what you were talking about, Scott, and I appreciate it. I will say this. I 100% agree. So when he asked the question about what can you do about it, right now it's my understanding that the accountability only lies in who's going to be afforded playoffs, which is extra checks for officials, and who will be awarded a Super Bowl, their crew, whichever crew, and they're all graded every week. And by no means am I saying all of them. There's like one crew that's superior to others, and I'm sure there it's kind of the best of the bad in some cases. Mm-hmm. Who's the best of the bad? Because you got to have crews, and you can't just replace an entire crew during a season. But I feel like when we have to step to the microphone as players, we are allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and susceptible to any question that is asked. And our words will carry on through the entire season. If we say something idiotic, if we say something that doesn't make sense, or if we make a blame game or what have you, like, that carries on. I mean, they're still talking about practice with Allen Iverson, and he ain't even playing no more in the league. So you can think back to all those comments at the podium, and in some cases, how some of those comments, like, let's go back to Chris Jones after the Indianapolis Colts game. He owned it up. He had to be accountable. He was at the podium. He said it, and we haven't seen anything like that since then, because he had to stand up and say that. Now, as an official, to me, if you got to be a guy that after every single game, there's one person in your crew or the white hat has to stand up and be accountable for something, don't you think that there's going to be a heightened focus on not having that reoccur the next week or the weeks down the road or the next time you officiate a game for the Chiefs? Also, if you listen to broadcast, and I'm going on a rant here,
no,
but if you listen to the broadcast after that game, I believe it was the Raiders where we had the 10 penalties and it was called Sheffers. And I went off on it at halftime on how disrespectful they were in not even going over to the sideline of the Chiefs and listening and at least taking an earful of Andy Reid in a crucial play of the game. Well, they did the exact same thing this past week. Those are things that you guys don't see on television, but I am in the booth and I see the officials specifically staying on the side of the field of the Houston Texans when it's clearly a time with commercials or whatever, preparing for a kickoff, where you can go over and at least have a conversation or at least hear the coach out, where he can feel like, I got to say my piece. And the fact that they don't do that for Andy Reid, who's been around the league forever, highly regarded, I feel like there's a concerted effort not to do that, which could add to the reasons why you call so many flags. And if you had to stand at the podium and had a person like me ask you that question, how come you don't go over and talk with Andy, but I see you go over and talk with Lovey, and I see you go over and talk with these other coaches? Do you think that the next time that you coach or you officiate a game against the Chiefs, you might have a heightened awareness of, I'm going to be asked this question, so I'm going to go over there and talk with Andy, or at least hear him out? Those are the accountability things that we as players and coaches have to have, and I feel like the officials are purposely left out. That's my rant.
Well, it's not a rant because the text line loves it. 864 says, preach, Dana, man. The best solution I've ever heard. Referees definitely need a press conference. That would be a real must-watch TV. If you ask me from a solution-based standpoint, I'm going to go with I don't know how anyone or any group of men can get better at anything, because I think at the end of the day, it's not really the calls that people are frustrated. It's the amount of inconsistency from team to team.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say, the referees had to actually go watch film and do like a virtual, they watch games together and a group of 100 officials all clicking what you would call at certain times. And then you could see after each play how many guys called what. It would at least bring some consistency to their eyes and how much holding is holding, how much hand play and hand fighting should be allowed. And then whoever that, you know, whoever they consider the head of officials can go through that with those gentlemen and say, these are the calls we would like you to see in these events. Get everybody on the same page. And the only way they can create some consistency is for everybody to get on the same page. Yeah. I think as long as it starts being called across the board, game in and game out, because there's no way when you look back at the Tom Brady, when the guy from Atlanta threw him to the ground, and that was roughing the passer.
Yeah, you and then see our the same game, thing.
We Patrick just saw Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes gets
body slammed,
and that's just a good play. And it looks so similar, but the result is nowhere near the same. That's the frustrating part, and I know it becomes like a certain fan base, you know, crying for a call. It's not about that.
Consistency.
They just want to see, no matter if it's Thursday night, Sunday night, Saturday during the day, no matter if it's their team or the rival team, they want consistent penalties being called.
Yeah, I think all players want that. And when you leave a game and when Chris Jones can say, hey, I've been told what I can't do, but I've never been told what we can do. And every game is different. I think that's along your point. Well, that's it. We got Big T. Hold on one more segment. We're coming to the fourth quarter. We'll get to you, Big T. We'll tackle a couple more text messages, and we got to talk about this upcoming game against the Seahawks.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Wait, and he gets buried. He gets destroyed by Sean Barber. Y'all better get
ready to rumble. We're going to cut that off.
No, double up on
that. We're going to cut that off. We do not.
What's we more cannot, than a good thing?
It is impossible
double up on
to
that
give
good, that intro.
Sean Barber
double up.
Two intros
yes,
in the show. I mean, I know it's Christmas time and I'm supposed to be in the spirit of giving, but I ain't giving that. I ain't giving that no more. No mas.
Man, you keep my man on hold. You
Big
know
T,
I can't wait.
All right, we're going to get to Big T. Big T, what you got, bro?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. So I'd first like to say, you know, that segment at the end of the drive where they have Carrington and Barbershop on, man, that's some good radio where they debate back and forth on different scenarios. I love that. And they keep bringing it. That's beautiful, beautiful radio. I love it. And they followed up with this show. It's even better because you guys bring the players' perspectives on defense and offense.
Appreciate
you're
that.
Talking about the referees. I love that. Make them accountable. Anything else you could throw out there, we just love and absorb like a sponge that information that the players bring us. And I'm glad Dan brought up Franco Harris, man. He was a great. I loved watching him. Him and Rocky Blyer were a great 1-2 punch combo. I can't believe they haven't retired his number yet. Yeah, way to go. Franco Harris, rest in peace, man. And then, you know, I was young enough. I remember the Seattle game. They used to be in our division. You guys remember that? They played us twice. And I was there at that game where Derek Thomas, when they broke that single season in Sac Raider, but we still lost. Like 17-16 was just such a gut punch, gut-wrenching game. But those were always good rivals, and they had Steve Largent and Craig, and that was just a beautiful, beautiful rival. And I'm glad the Seahawks are coming in. Because we're going to kick the Sea Squawks' asses. We got to put the hammer down on them. We're going to take care of business. And, you know, Christmas Eve, this is going to be beautiful. We got all this football coming the next day on football. So let's just keep it rolling. Let's back our Chiefs. We're going to put all our blankets and keep them warm. Pat Mahomes is going to throw for 4 touchdowns. And everybody, let's go Chiefs.
Appreciate it, Big T. I like all the energy. I like. I appreciate the acknowledgement. I really enjoy the segments that Carrington and Barbershop has, or Barbershop Rafikism, And I know he uses up all his Rafikiing for that show because he never brings it on this show to me. So that just tells you about the integrity of this show. But also the Seahawks in town barbershop. I played in an epic game against the Seahawks. Not the one he was speaking of where DT had, I believe, 7 sacks and missed the 8th sack, which was the go-ahead touchdown that they lost a game. But 7 sacks in a game. I'm sure that offensive tackle, I would like to think that he probably had to take a commercial flight back. If you give up 7 sacks against one cat, like you're going to have to look in your locker the next day to see if you're still employed.
Can't find no friends in the locker room after that kind of show.
No. You basically was like, not the bull rider. What's the dude that says ole? That's basically what you was doing to DT, just throwing up that red cape and letting him fly right past you. But I played in Lake Arrowhead against the Seahawks. Lake Arrowhead, 1998, where the rains delayed the game during the game. The locker room flooded. Water was flowing down the stairs. We were underwater on the field, and we came out with the victory against Warren Moon and the Seattle Seahawks. Ricky Running Waters was on that team, I remember. It was a good matchup. I think it was a Sunday night game as well. So in the rain, flooding and everything, Lake Arrowhead, there's some great pictures. DT with his helmet off, sitting on the field after a sack. Great experiences. So we got the Seahawks in town. What you think about that?
Well, first and foremost, man, shout out to Kevin Lockett, his son Tyler Lockett.
Yep.
That's one of the guys who are near and dear to, I think, both our hearts. Kevin being an ambassador, but also a great friend and also a leader in our community. His son is just a mountain of a man. The things he's done on and off the field, his faith and everything he's doing as far as non-for-profit and everything he's done in that Seattle market and what he did when he played for K-State. Rewriting all the record books, trying to erase all his dad's, Kevin's names out the books.
Doing a heck of a job.
A great job at that. So we definitely got to get that little stab in. But, man, just having family come back in town, I know it's a blessing to have that, having the Lockett family all together and being able to, even though, Tyler's suffering from a broken finger, so
he's
not going to play. Just having them be back in the area if he travels with the team. But just having the family around and being obviously in the Christmas spirit. But Big T did mention, Franco Harris. We definitely want to make sure that was a big loss. And also Ronnie Hillman, from the Broncos, that running back, I think 31 year old, something like that.
Cancer.
Gone way too young. So both of those guys, man, it's always a brotherhood and a fellowship on the field. But I think this game we're going to take care of business, man. We still got that number one seed we're looking at. Let's find a way to right the wrong and get back on that ship. I'm sure that the Buffalo Bills will have a hiccup.
Rob, we got some different closing music. We know we got to be out. Oh, we got to be out in 1 minute.
Hold on
that music.
Is he playing the Bills?
No, you got to play. You know this is.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, if that was
you
Rob.
You know what song this is.
This is
that Silent Night. This is the real Silent Night.
I was about to come through that window. In my mind.
There you go. I don't want you to sing it. Who sings this? You know who sings this? Barbershop?
I want you to know.
Chiefs gonna win. It's all about the Chiefs this weekend. Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a blessed, safe, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, if I knew Barbershop was gonna sing this, I wouldn't have brought it up. It's definitely time to go. Go Chiefs this weekend. We'll talk to you next week before the New Year's.
So.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.